You are listening to a sermon by Kevin Hebert, recorded on Sunday, August 3rd, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
During my daily commute home, I sometimes listen to podcast episodes from Reasons to Believe, a Christian apologetics organization that aims to help people discover how scientific research and a Christian worldview are both consistent with the truths described in the Bible. RTB has two podcasts now: Stars, Cells, and God, which is about how recent scientific discoveries relate to our faith, and Clear Thinking, which is about theology and philosophy. I've attended some of the RTB Vancouver chapter meetings, which have recently been held at the Fraserlands Church on Southeast Marine Drive, once a month on a Wednesday evening, with a break now for the summer. Reasons to Believe is one of the sponsors of the annual conference of the American Scientific Affiliation, ASA. Last year, in July 2024, I attended the gathering in Washington, D.C., and this year I watched many of the keynotes and seminars online that were live streamed from Colorado. One of the books that I've read lately is Beyond the Cosmos, The Transdimensionality of God, written by Dr. Hugh Ross, the founder of RTB. And this book is available in print for $16 US from their website at reasons.org, plus an absurd amount for shipping, or as an ebook on Amazon Kindle for $10 Canadian. Dr. Ross is an astrophysicist and pastor in Southern California with a PhD from the University of Toronto, but he grew up in Vancouver and his undergraduate degree was in physics from UBC. The subtitle for the first edition of this book was The Extra Dimensionality of God. A controversy arose with the first version when two theologian philosophers, J.P. Moreland and William Lane Craig, responded to Dr. Ross's talk at the November 1997 Evangelical Theological Society Conference, mistakenly suggesting that his view was that God is constrained by the extra space-time dimensions recently discovered by physicists. Their critique was that God is both extra-dimensional and trans-dimensional. You might be used to hearing the word trans in the context of human sexuality, but here it refers to transcendence in the sense that God transcends the limitations of the dimensions that we can measure and experience. Dr. Ross clarified that God is the creator of all space-time dimensions and therefore cannot be subject to them. In Jeremiah 23, verse 24, God declares, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" This Bible passage and others state the doctrine of God's immanence, that he continuously operates everywhere throughout the dimensions that he creates. In the second edition of the book in 1999, Dr. Ross did take his critics' advice to repeat God's simultaneous extra and trans-dimensionality more frequently. And for the third edition in 2017, RTB Press changed the subtitle to The Transdimensionality of God. The three topics that I'll cover today are: one, what is the significance of having more than four dimensions of space-time? Two, how does having extra dimensions help to explain God's omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence as demonstrated in biblical miracles? And three, how does having extra dimensions support our hope for the ultimate redemption and judgment of humanity, overseen by Christ as the Lamb of God? To begin, we're all familiar with the three dimensions of space, length, width, and height, and a fourth dimension for time. Each dimension can be thought of as a line which connects two or more points along it. We experience time as a one-way arrow, in which an effect can only follow a cause. despite what time-traveling science fiction stories may suggest. While Einstein's special and general theories of relativity have been proven to show that different observers moving at different speeds and or subject to more or less gravity, like at the edge of a black hole, can experience the passage of time at different rates, time still marches inexorably onward because the combination of space and time that we live in, called space-time, is still subject to the second law of thermodynamics, which physicist Roger Penrose explained in his book, The Emperor's New Mind. In 1996, the physicist Andrew Strominger and his collaborator Qumran Vafa built on the earlier work of other physicists to propose that a unified string theory with 10 dimensions of space instead of 3 would better explain the phenomenon of black holes. The heart of string theory is the idea that a fraction of a second after the Big Bang, these 6 extra dimensions, which were necessary, stopped growing, and the remaining dimensions of space-time inflated, and these strings enabled the formation of the elemental particles which became gas, dust, solar systems, galaxies, and clusters of galaxies. In the intelligent design interpretation of old Earth creationism that Reasons to Believe promotes, God is the master designer who engineered the Big Bang and cosmic inflation to cause the formation of Earth as a planet in the Goldilocks zone of habitability. We are blessed to live in a relatively stable solar system, in a relatively safe part of the Milky Way, where humans can live in relationship with God without fear of supernova or dangerous quasars, pulsars, or neutron stars anywhere nearby. Have you seen a 3D chessboard? It typically has 3 layers of 8x8 squares in which pieces like a rook can move up and down instead of just sideways or backwards forwards. And pieces that can move diagonally, like the queen or the bishop, can also cut through the unoccupied squares on other layers. That's a mental model you can use to think about what adding another dimension might be like. How does having extra dimensions help to explain how God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, present everywhere? Well, and how does this explain biblical miracles? Augustine, from the mid-4th to mid-5th century, is widely credited with systematically articulating these omni-attributes in his publications of Confessions and City of God. Later, Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century further refined the theological understanding of these attributes by exploring how they logically flow from God's nature as the first cause. Aquinas's point is that for any existing chain of causation, there must be a primary uncaused cause that sustains the activity of the entire chain. God, as the first cause, is the ultimate explanation for the existence and activity of all contingent things. In Colossians 1:16-17, we hear, "For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." If it's true that God has access to additional dimensions of time, that provides explanatory power for the miracles which involve foreknowledge. Information about events that will happen in the future can be easily shared with the prophets, apostles, or revealed by Jesus as the Son of God. If God sees all of the events on our timeline at once, it would be as if we could look at all of the frames of a feature film at once on a giant backlit light table, instead of being limited to watching a movie at 24 frames per second. God can easily listen to the simultaneous prayers and inner thoughts of the nearly 5.4 billion people around the world who aren't asleep at any given moment, because he isn't constrained to processing their prayers sequentially. The CW TV series Legends of Tomorrow was based on the premise that unexpected disturbances in the timeline that put humanity's survival at risk had to be fixed by an unlikely band of misfits traveling in a time ship run by an AI superintelligence. In the Apple TV series Foundation, based on the series of books by science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke, the Prime Radiant is a softball-sized device that can holographically project the complex mathematical calculations to predict the future of large human populations across the galaxy. Our popular culture is clearly obsessed with time travel and using computational power to predict the future. If it's true that God has access to additional dimensions of space, that opens up a variety of miracles that would otherwise seem to violate the laws of physics as we know them. Jesus teleported multiple times. In John 20, 19, it is written, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" In John 20, 26, it is written, "A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" This is entirely possible if Jesus can rotate his existence from an extra set of dimensions into our set of four dimensions. The idea of rotating between dimensions can be visualized if you think about rotating a plane two dimensions on its edge to become a line, one dimension, and back again. Another one of my favorite CW TV shows is The Flash, in which superhero Barry Allen is able to vibrate the atoms of his body, allowing him to pass through solid objects. But the ability to instantly appear elsewhere is more like the Marvel character Nightcrawler, in which the X-Men team member Kurt Wagner can teleport up to a few miles away with a puff of smoke as he leaves and arrives, as long as he can see or visualize a known location and doesn't do it too often, otherwise he gets too tired to jump. Jesus did not have any of these limitations or side effects. Let's conclude by considering how having extra dimensions supports our hopes and dreams for the redemption and judgment of humanity in the last days. Imagine God's plan laid out in advance, like a theater sports improvisational play, with a setting, theme, and plot, but one in which the actors are free to enter and exit the stage, recruit audience members, and ad-lib their lines. One, Garden of Eden. God, transcending our timeline, would have known that humanity would fall to temptation and be disobedient. Two, opportunity for justification through faith. In Romans 4:3, it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Three, giving of the law. In the commandments, God showed his people how to choose obedience over rebellion. Four, Christ, the Son of God, incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth. God paid the death penalty for sin and graciously offered an inheritance of eternal life for those who accept the gift by aligning themselves with Christ-likeness over time. Five, the Holy Spirit seals the promise, securely grafting all who choose eternal life into the Son of God as a branch is grafted into a vine for the purpose of bearing fruit, namely, to love one another. That's from John 15. And six, final judgment. The lake of fire is a place where people and demons who want freedom from the will of God and the restraints of conscience will go, while the new heavens and the new earth will be the home of redeemed humans and angels in the presence of God. Christ, as the Lamb of God, maintains the book that determines who goes where. According to John's account in Revelation 21, 1 to 5 and 16 to 17, in the First Nations version of the Bible, the new heaven and new earth are very different from our familiar universe. Then I saw a new spirit world above and a new earth below, for the first spirit world and the first earth had gone away, and the great waters of the sea were no longer there. I saw a new sacred village of peace, Jerusalem, coming down from the great spirit in the world above and dressed in wedding regalia like a bride made ready for her husband. I heard a voice coming from the seat of honor say, "Behold," the voice said, "the great spirit has pitched his sacred tent among human beings. They will be his people, and Creator himself will make his home among them and will be their great spirit. He will perform a wiping of tears ceremony, for death will be no more. There will be no sorrow or weeping or pain, because these former things have faded away. Then the one on the seat of honor spoke again. Behold, he said, I am making all things fresh and new. Verse 16, the sacred village was laid out in a square. It measured 12,000 stadia. Its width, length, and height were the same. The spirit messenger was using human measurements. This description of New Jerusalem as a cube of 12,000 stadia per side, about 2,000 kilometers cubed, is physically impossible in our current universe, because anything larger than about 500 kilometers per side would be crushed by its own gravity into some kind of ball shape. The largest Borg cube in the Star Trek universe is only about 3 kilometers a side, and in our asteroid belt, Ceres has a diameter of about 900 kilometers, and it's definitely an oblong sphere. Revelation's reference to no sorrow or weeping or pain suggests that entropy, the increasing tendency towards disorder, isn't part of the new creation either, which means that the second law of thermodynamics doesn't apply. In Revelation 22, 12 to 13, in the First Nations version, we hear, Behold, I am coming very soon, said Creator Sets Free, Jesus. I am ready to reward everyone for what they have done, whether good or bad. I am Alpha and Omega, first and last, beginning and end. I will now travel back in time and remind you of the three topics that I covered today. One, having more than four dimensions of space-time opens up pathways of plausibility for God's sovereignty over the universe. Two, having extra dimensions does help to explain God's omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence as demonstrated in biblical miracles, both the temporal ones and the spatial ones. And third, having extra dimensions supports our hope for the ultimate redemption and judgment of humanity, because the new heavens and new earth won't be limited to the laws of physics as we know them today. Praise the Lord, the Lamb of God, who invites us to be with him in paradise. Amen.